How does someone go from zero knowledge about audio to becoming an audio engineer and traveling the world with a major rock band in just 11 months? We're going to introduce you to someone who did just that. Let's go. All right. Welcome, everybody, to the latest episode of Background Noise, the Henson Family Podcast. Steven here, and I am with my ride or die, Amy.
Hey.
And today, making her Henson Family Podcast debut is our second born, also known as the middle child, also known as the cool aunt, Anna Henson, calling in from Lititz, Pennsylvania. Hey, Anna.
Hey, Anna.
Hello. Hello. I am the cool aunt. You're right.
You are. Absolutely. So this episode, and it's probably going to be a series. We're going to get more than one out of this. Is something I've been looking forward to since we started this podcast, because I think the story is impressive. There's facets of it that are just very impressive to me, especially as a dad. Proud moment, of course. And, you know, it's just kind of cool. You know, it's just, we don't know anybody that's ever done this, or, you know, it's just kind of cool. So are you ready to tell us your story?
I guess so. I think it's a cool story too.
Yeah.
You know.
So as the title of the episode entails, or leads you to believe, we're going to talk about how Anna went from zero audio knowledge to being an audio engineer and traveling the world with a major rock band. So we're going to kind of set it up a little bit, go back to before everything started, and you graduated high school a semester early. And go ahead.
Oh, no, you keep going.
Okay. So you graduated high school a semester early, and I think you probably had a full semester or a semester and a half of college credits based on the dual credit classes that you took. And, you know, at that point, you really weren't sure what you wanted to do. So you started working at Summer Moon, and let's just kind of go from there on the work life and what you were trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, with high school, like, I did a lot of the dual credits and like the AP classes, which gets you those college credits so you don't have to worry about it whenever you actually go into college. And I mean, I got a lot of those racked up. I think you said like a semester, semester and a half, which that sounds about right. I mean, just to knock it out, I mean, I'm not bragging, but I did think school was pretty easy.
Well,
you know, I just did it.
Yeah.
But it just wasn't something I didn't necessarily enjoy it. I was just like, it was just a task that I got done.
That's true. I remember you could just do it, Anna.
I was like, okay, I'll just do this, I guess. And so,
and then
by the time, huh?
I was going to say, I do remember you being a little bit bitter because you graduated early and a semester early. So you were kind of looking forward to being at home while your other friends were stuck at school, you know, and you were going to go up there and maybe have lunch with them and just kind of smile at the fact that you could just leave, you know, but then COVID hit. And so everybody was at home. So I think you felt a little cheated.
I did. I mean, I was just like, I worked really hard so that I could just get everything done and be ahead of everybody and be able to, you know, be at home and not have to worry about school. And then, and then everybody got to be home and not necessarily worry about school. So
that was stolen from you.
Yeah.
I mean, it worked out really. Cause I mean, they still had to technically like do classes. It was just in a different format and that was like easier, but I was able to get a job and kind of jump the gun on working and stuff. So it all panned out. I mean, I mean, at the time too, I was still debating on like the whole college idea.
Mm-hmm.
Like I remember when I just graduated early, I think it was December, and I was going to take some like classes at the community college.
Yeah.
And then I just started doing that and I realized how much I hated it. Not necessarily because I wasn't bad at it. Like
you took some?
You know, I took like two classes.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, just because I started, and it was just like, it was the easy classes. It was like foundations to learning. Yeah. It was like one of those that you like had to take.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, why am I doing this?
And I know there was a sense, Anna, at the time that, you know, when you're paying for those type of classes, you don't want to waste your money either. You know, I mean, you want to put that money towards something you really want to do. And I think you were still, you know, trying to figure that out. You know, you didn't know yet.
Yeah. Cause I was going to be the main one like paying for it. And I was just like, I don't want to pay for classes if I don't know if I'm going to end up even using it. Cause then like, if I did find out a major at some point, you know, then it's like, oh, I didn't need to take that class, but I need to take this class, which is very similar. I'm like, well, okay, now I got to go pay for that class that really doesn't matter. And I didn't really know my major, and I didn't know when I was going to figure that out. So I just kind of stopped.
And so you started working at Summer Moon, and that's how we developed our obsession with Summer Moon. And
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah, there'll be coffee talk in some of these episodes, but
anyway. Cost me a lot of money.
Me too.
So Anna, what was your goal when you were working, right? To what?
I don't know if I really had much of a goal other than figure out what I wanted to do.
Well, if I remember right, you were pocketing quite a bit of money.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I was, and I was saving for whenever I figured out what I did want to do.
Biding your
time. Whether that was, you know, figure out if there's like a major that I really wanted to focus on and like go back to college or like go to college and focus on that, or find a career that necessarily didn't take a college route and do that.
Okay.
Or live in a school bus. I know that was at one point an idea. Yeah. So I don't know. I was just saving for whatever it ended up being.
Okay.
You also had that brief time where you thought you might want to join the military too.
Oh yeah. That was definitely more of like in like senior year of high school.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like the idea of not sitting at a desk, you know. I liked working like with my hands, things like that. So that's kind of where that came from, but.
So I guess maybe I should know this, but where did your interest in music and live events come from? What were your influences in that area? Yeah,
it started kind of during COVID, really. You know, I was working at Summer Moon, that whole thing, and just kind of out of boredom, I just started thinking, I was just like, I want to know more about music. And when I say that, I was just like, you know, somebody could be like talking about the Beatles, and I'm like, I really couldn't tell you who was in the band.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, just some of like those really like early foundational like bands like that, I was like, I don't know, but I would enjoy having a little bit more knowledge about that. And so from there, I just kind of, it really did start like the Beatles was the first band I like was like really decided to like kind of focus in on and like learn about, just because, you know, they're kind of a big, everybody knows the Beatles, really.
Icon.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna listen to all their albums and like learn about them. And I really enjoyed that. I mean, yeah. And so I kind of took that idea and their influences, and I was like, oh, okay, they like this person, let me listen to a little bit of their songs. And kind of did like this like little rabbit hole. It just kind of turned into a rabbit hole of, okay, they like these people, or these people really listen to these people. Let me, who is this? And then, you know, kind of going from there.
Plus you went to some concerts like Jonas Brothers and things. So that kind of scratched that itch for the whole live, you know, live event type thing.
Yeah. So during COVID was really like kind of getting into the idea of like listening to music and like appreciating that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, once COVID started kind of dying down a little bit and live events started coming back, you know, that's when I was like, you know, I think it'd be really fun to go to some like shows and like experience some live shows. And so the big one that really kind of did it for me was I went to Nashville to see Greta Van Fleet. I was like, I don't, because, you know, knowing people in Nashville, I was like, I think it'd be kind of fun to just road trip out there by myself and go to the show, because why not? You know, I had the time, I could request time off and go do that. And so I did.
I noticed that you just quoted from We Bought a Zoo. Why not?
True. I forgot about that. favorite movie. I don't know. And so I did that. And I just had such a good time, like, even just going, like, by myself to it. And so from there, I just kind of went with the idea of, like, I really enjoyed live shows and just the whole atmosphere behind it. Mm-hmm. And I kind of made it a goal that it was, like, at least once a month I would go to a show just for fun, you know.
Okay. So, Anna, I'm going to jump in here. So, at this point, you've been working at Summer Moon maybe for, what, a year and a half or so? And still, you know, trying to figure out what you want to do. Mm-hmm. So, tell us, how did you discover Blackbird? And first of all, after you tell us about that, also include, what is Blackbird for those people that don't know what Blackbird is?
Yeah. So this time period, I actually wasn't working at Summer Moon. I was working at another coffee shop, bigger chain called Dutch Bros, I guess, whenever this happened. But Blackbird is an audio school that's in Nashville, Tennessee. I kind of say it's almost like a trade school where, you know, they focus like very intensely on that one skill for a period of time. So, yeah.
So is Blackbird. It like a 4-year school? Like, what's different about Blackbird than a traditional university?
Yeah. Blackbird is only 6 months long, which is really, really nice. And compared to, you know, like, there's another big like audio school called like Full Sail. They're like a 4-year school, things like that. But yeah, Blackbird is only 6 months, but you're there Monday through Friday, like, you know, 9 to 5, pretty much.
Like a job.
So it is like your job to be there. But, you know, what you get out of it is a good job. So it pays off, really.
And they have, and Blackbird has two tracks, right? The studio track and the live engine, or the live sound. And you went with the live sound because you like the whole live event, you know, aspect of it.
Yeah. Blackbird itself is a studio. Formed by John McBride, who is, if you know Martina McBride, that's her husband. But he has a studio in Nashville called Blackbird. But he originally got into the music industry by being a live sound engineer and starting his own like live sound company. And so he kind of wanted he likes to teach and give people opportunities. And so that's how he came up with, like, you know, the studio and live sound programs, to where you could do either of those, which they are vastly different if you didn't know.
So Anna, how did you discover Blackbird personally?
So it's kind of a fun story, or I think it's a fun story at least. So I really wanted to visit up in Nashville for a little bit because we got some family up in Nashville, and I talked to my aunt and I was like, hey, do you think I'd be able to come up to Nashville for like a week just to hang out? And ultimately I did. At the time, I was interested in getting into like the live sound. I just really, or like, just really like live events and like concerts and all that stuff. I just didn't know how that really worked. Like, how do you get involved in something like that? But I just knew Nashville is like, you know, Music City. So that's kind of where everything starts. Like, it would be a good place to, like, you know, get introduced into the industry somehow. And so I wanted to go visit my aunt who was up there. And I knew, like, I would look at a couple apartments while I was up there, you know, just to see while I was up there. And so I was visiting her. And so I went to go visit my cousin and her husband, who's also in Nashville, and her husband, Christian. I was talking with him after we were playing like some games and stuff. And he asked me, he's like, so what do you want to do? And that's always, you know, the big question. And I was like, I don't really know. I just know I love concerts. I love going to them. And I love seeing, you know, how it's all put together. Cause it's like it's a big production, really. But just how do you get involved into something like that? Like, I don't know. Like, because it seems like an industry where it's like, who do you know?
Yeah.
It's like very much like word of mouth. How do you get involved in something like that when you don't know anybody in it?
Yep.
And so I just kind of told him that. And he was like, you know, funny you say that. And I was like, okay. He was a leader of a youth group. And one of the guys in his youth group, you know, they keep in touch a lot. And he was like, this guy that's in my youth group, he went to this school called Blackbird, who's kind of in the same boat as you, but had a little bit more experience, like doing like live sound at like churches and stuff. He was like, he went to this school called Blackbird, and they basically teach you like the ins and out of like sound engineering. And now he is out gigging with some other bands. I was like, that is interesting. Because I never really, I didn't know that that kind of existed, that you could do a school like that, mm-hmm. that wouldn't take, you know, 4 years and like basically go to college. Yeah. I didn't know that there was like kind of like a fast track for that. So he told me about that and I was like, that is so cool. And so I left their house and went back to my aunt's where I was staying and opened up my computer and searched mm-hmm. it. And I was right then was looking. And right then I knew, I was like, okay, this is what I want to do.
And I remember getting the phone call from you saying, I know what I want to do. Do you remember that, Aunt?
I do remember.
And you telling us about Blackbird and, I mean, we're looking at the website and everything, and it looked really, you know.
You were very confident, Anna.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. I remember y'all were a little hesitant because I was just so certain. I was like, this is it. I'm moving to Nashville. I'm doing this. It's basically going to take all the money in my savings, but I did the math and I can make this work.
Well, and the other thing, I think the other caution I had is that, you know, you see these programs out there that are advertised like this, you know, these academies mm-hmm. and stuff, and you really don't know if there's any, you know, are they legit? And so I have a friend named Randy who I went to school with who is in the music industry and lives in Nashville. And I asked him a question about it. And he's like, oh, no, that place is totally legit. So, that made me feel good that the money, you know, you had a good sum of money that you were going to have to put on this, that wasn't going to be wasted. It was going to be, you're going to get a quality training out of that. So.
Yeah. And I mean, what also kind of sealed the deal too is Christian, he gave me the guy that he was telling me I went to Blackbird and now was out touring. He's like, here's his contact. You should call him and talk to him. And just, if you have any question, like write down a list of questions and just talk to him about Blackbird. I was like, okay. And so I scheduled like a call with him. And even just after that, I was like, okay, I was getting so excited. I'm so giddy. I was like, this is legit going to happen. I'm no longer going to be a barista. I'm going to move and do this thing. So, yeah.
So then you got back and, you know, there's an application process for this. You know, you just can't say I'm going to go to Blackbird and you just show up. So there's an application process where you have to give any kind of experience that you might have and stuff. And then there's a limited number of spots.
Yeah. They have to accept you, right, Anna?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. So tell us about that.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember what all was on that application, but they do ask if you have any like prior audio experience, things like that. I had to do like, I think a few essays, things like that. But I will say the essays were less, geared toward like experience, but more of just like personal, like motivational, like how you would go about things, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And there's only 15 spots per class, and they do 4 classes a year. And so whenever I went to go, and I went to Nashville and first heard about this, it was May, and I believe the next class started in July. So I was really at first really aiming to see if I could swing that July class, but it just was too early.
Yeah. I think everything worked out perfect.
Yeah, it worked out. It really did. Cause, I got in contact with, you know, the people at Blackbird and was trying to get that July spot, but it was just not going to really work out. If I did the math and like some money, and I was like, okay, if I save it for a little bit longer and do the October class, that like I could really nail that down. And so that's what ended up happening, and I got accepted for that one.
So at the beginning, I mentioned that from my standpoint, this is kind of, this whole story is just something I'm very proud of for you. I can't save money to save my life. And Audrey shares that characteristic that I have. But you, knowing that Blackbird is pretty much a 9-to-5 job, yeah, and you really probably weren't going to be able to work, or if you would be able to work, it'd be like on the weekends or something, that your income, yeah, was going to be very limited. You, uh-huh, saved up enough money to pay for Blackbird, and, uh-huh, see, Blackbird's 6 months, so I think you saved up 7 months worth of rent, uh-huh, and just living expenses, so you wouldn't have to take a job at all while you're there. I mean, that,
yeah,
that was a big chunk of change, and I mean, that was, yeah, very impressive.
Yeah, before you left home, Anna, you were the richest person in the house, for sure.
For sure.
I did definitely save up a lot, and it really worked out, because I could have easily, you know, spent that on something else, whether that was like little chunks of it or not. But it worked out to where I just had enough to make that 6 months, to pay enough of the tuition to get me by during that time, mm-hmm, and get enough for groceries and all that stuff. And, you know, by the end of my Blackbird, like the 6 months at Blackbird, like I was scraping the bottom of the barrel, but I just made it. Yeah. So
I know you're also able to get a roommate, which helped, who was also attending Blackbird but doing the studio track. Shout out, mm-hmm, to Willa. That definitely helped with expenses. So as far as Blackbird goes, 9-to-5, kind of give us a description of what it's like to be a student, and, you know, what are the different types of things that you learn throughout that 6 months?
Yeah. So first, I'd like to say, if anybody is interested in going in the live sound industry, I 110% recommend Blackbird to anybody that could afford to do it, because it really is worth it.
It's only 6 months.
Like I said, it's only 6 months. It is 9-to-5, or I think it's really 10-to-5, but, you know, yeah, basically it's your full-time job. But kind of how it's structured is, each week is you're covering a different subject. And so to start out, when one thing that really gave me kind of the confidence was my first day there, I met my teacher, and he said, I don't care if you have an insane amount of audio experience or nothing at all. You couldn't even tell me what an XLR is, which, to those who don't know, an XLR is a mic cable. He said, I don't care. You throw all your knowledge out the window. Don't act like you're better than anybody else, because we're starting from the ground up and building your foundation. I was like, okay, cool, because I know nothing. This is perfect.
It's got to put you at ease a little bit.
It did. And I mean, yeah, like, I knew that I can work for it. I was like, okay, I know I don't know anything, but I'll make sure that I know the subjects in and out by the end of it, whatever we're talking about. So, yeah, Blackbird. So each week is a different subject. I believe, like, our first week, we just talked about the fundamentals of power. Because if you think about it, power kind of starts everything off. And if you don't know how that works, it's dangerous,
mm-hmm, yep,
to start out. It's a dangerous thing to work with. And it, you know, is the foundations for a lot of things. So you kind of start there. You learn the signal flow of how kind of audio runs through a live tour. You know, how it starts out a microphone, then it goes down your mic cable, then it goes, you know, here, then there. Where does it go after that? All the way to the end product, which is the speaker. Because if you know your signal flow, you can problem solve anything, really. You learn about how to work on small analog consoles. We started out with analog consoles because they are the easiest to show how signal flow works. If you know how an analog console works, you can then move to digital consoles, and understand a lot of the functionality and, like, the buttons and why things are the way they are. And then you move to, like, larger format analog consoles and larger format digital consoles, things like that. How to properly patch a stage, which is, you know, signal flow of, like, okay, this mic plugs in here, then where does it go after that? That kind of stuff. We learned a little bit about system engineer, or really the job of, like, a systems engineer, which is managing a PA, and a PA is basically your speaker system, and tuning it, making sure it sounds right based off of the room, mm-hmm, that you're in. The fundamental, like, acoustics, how physics plays it you know, a role of how does a sound wave work? You got to know how that works before you have to manipulate a sound wave.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it was the fundamental stuff of how sound works and how to apply it in small or large formats, really.
Yeah.
Once you get that, you can get to bigger scales because it's all the same principles. It's just more.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So, Anna, I got a question for you. So being in Nashville, and I guess with John McBride owning Blackbird, you probably came across, this is more of a fun question, some, you know, artist, you know, did you run into any artists as you were there in Nashville at Blackbird and,
tell us a little bit, definitely just around town. Nashville is, there's just a lot of, you know, artists that are around.
Yeah, it seems like I remember you talking, I think it was Marty Stewart showed up.
Yeah.
One day.
He comes by a lot.
Yeah.
And so
pops into class.
Yeah. It's one of those things where it's kind of like Nashville etiquette. If you live there, like if you see an artist, you don't bother them. That's just kind of a thing. You know, cause there's so many artists and like well-known people that live there. You just kind of, you give them their space, let them live. But yeah, there was quite a few. I mean, whether that was like around town or knowing some people were working over at the studio, that kind of stuff, you just kind of let them do their thing, you know?
Yeah.
So
now knowing your work ethic and your determination, and Mom and I knew that you were just determined to be successful at this. And as luck would have it, in the exact same parking lot that Blackbird, at least the Blackbird live sound portion was, right across the parking lot was the Claire Global shop. Mm-hmm. And Claire is probably one of the largest touring sound companies in the world, right?
It is the largest.
Okay, the largest. Did you, I'm trying to remember, did you ask Scott or Rich about, you know, whether you should go over there or how did that
work? Tell us about Claire.
Yeah. So Scott and Rich, to those who don't know, those were my two teachers at Blackbird. And it was once again, like our first week of class, kind of the introduction portion. Scott was giving us that introduction. He was the one that was, you know, I don't care how much, you know, we're starting from the bottom building up. During that same talk, he was talking about how Claire is right across the street. And, you know, he said, we only send rock stars over to Claire. You know, they're like, for, you know, their own reputation. And they need the people that, you know, put in the work. But yeah, whenever he said, we only send our rock stars over to Claire, I said, okay. Well, I'm going to try to work at Claire.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah. I said, if it takes being the best in the class to go over there, that's what I'm going to do. And I don't mean that in like a cocky kind of way, but I mean, it's like, I'll put in the work to make sure I do that. You know, I'll make sure that I, you know, am one of those rock stars. And so, from the beginning, that kind of conversation, I was like, okay, that's going to be kind of my goal, is to get involved over there. And so that was Scott telling us that. And so Rich, my other teacher, he so happened to work at Claire for 27 years. He knows everybody over at that shop that's right across the street. And so pretty early on, whenever I still didn't know a whole lot, but I told Rich, I was like, Rich, I want to get involved over there. Do you know, like, is there a way that I could work over there in, like, the mornings, anything? And he's like, well, I know a couple people. Let me talk to some people. I was like, okay. And so luckily, like, he knew the manager of that shop over there and was able to get me an interview. And it went well. He said, we'll see you next week. And I said, perfect. And so, yeah, I started working over there in the mornings part-time. So I did get a little bit of money, which really helped.
Mm-hmm. The big benefit is you got your foot in the door at Clare Global.
Yeah, I got my foot in the door and started working over there. And it lucked out that, you know, I was able to get that job. And then, you know, some people from my class started being like, oh, I didn't know that you could do that. And then they started asking. And at that point, they're like, okay, now there's... I was the last one before. They're like, yeah, we don't need any more people.
Yeah.
So I barely made my way in.
Well, that's you taking the initiative to do that. So
yeah. Yeah. You kind of have to be eager and reach out if you want to get those types of things. And so it really worked out. And yeah, I got my foot in the door and was able to get some contacts and, you know, make my want known in the sense of like, I want to be on the road. I will do what it takes to do that.
Yep.
That kind of thing.
So if we're looking at a timeline, you started Blackbird October the 3rd, 2022. Mm-hmm. And so after the first of the year, you know, you're working at Clare and you knew you wanted to go out on the road. And I know you talked to some folks there at the shop.
Mm-hmm.
So roadie and training, RIT. So how did you find out about RIT?
And what is RIT?
Mm-hmm. What is RIT? Where is RIT? And because I know you had to apply for it. It's one of those things. It's not automatic, but tell us a little bit about how you found out about RIT and how that went.
Yeah. So RIT, as Dad said, roadie in training. It is a class that you have to go through. If you work at Clare and you want to go on the road, you have to go through RIT to become a roadie, no matter what. It's just kind of how the system works to make sure people are qualified to be able to do a job working for Clare. Now it's 3 months long. It used to be a little bit longer, but it's a course now 3 months long that is up in Lititz, Pennsylvania. Lititz, Pennsylvania is where Clare's headquarters is at. That and they just make sure everybody has to go through there to keep kind of it standardized and everything like that.
Yep.
I found out just through talking to people over at the Nashville warehouse, kind of like what steps you have to take in order to become a roadie, finding out about RIT, talking to, you know, some people there at the shop, like how am I able to get an application? When's the next class? Like when can I get the ball rolling? Just to see how immediate can I get this thing to work. And it kind of worked out perfectly how you were saying, you know, the timeline was kind of perfect.
Mm-hmm.
This was kind of one of those perfect moments where I was able to like submit an application. They're still figuring out kind of like the timeline. And I graduated from Blackbird March 31st, and that's a Friday. And the upcoming Monday, which I think was April 2nd,
third.
Okay. April 3rd. So yeah. So that coming Monday was the first day of the next RIT class. So if I wanted to get that slot, I would have to move from Nashville to Pennsylvania over the weekend to get ready for class.
In one weekend.
One weekend. Yes.
Yeah. And they're still trying to figure out kind of that schedule. Pretty close to it. So I really didn't know until like a month out that I was moving over the span of a weekend. I was like, okay, well, let's do this thing. So,
yeah. And we got to say, before we jump to our next section of the interview, you did graduate as the Platinum Award winner. Can you explain, what that is?
Yay.
Yeah. I don't mean this as any bragging rights in any way. I'm just
Well, we asked you.
Yeah, we asked.
Yeah, we're asking. Yeah.
So the Platinum Award winner is basically the top person in the class at Blackbird. Yeah, it's just basically showing that you got basically the best grades and you put in the effort and they see you as the top candidate, essentially.
I know when they had the graduation, it was virtual, but me and Mom and Auntie were sitting out in the parking lot. And I just tears and everything rolling down our faces. And then shortly after, we got to go inside and meet Scott and Rich. And so, that was, we were, it's a very proud moment for us. And, we knew you could do it. It was not a surprise. So,
I mean, I was really proud of myself. And
yeah,
in the sense of like, in the span of 6 months, there was people in my class that did have knowledge that just in general knew way more stuff than me. Mm-hmm. But I was still managed to put in that work and, you know, be trusted by my teachers and them saying, yes, she is the one that, you know, has really excelled. And we trust her to be put out on really any gig. And I was proud of myself in knowing that, like, I put in that work and I was able to really achieve that. So,
well, and it's very fun to share this too, because I know your dad has had some people actually ask him about your experience with Blackbird. I think they might have been interested for their kids. And so it's really fun to tell this story, because if you take the initiative and work hard, I mean, you can make something happen. So
it doesn't matter where you start. It really doesn't. So that was the span of May, figuring out what Blackbird was, then moving to October, actually going to Blackbird, which ended through March.
Yeah. So on the on our title timeline, or the timeline for our title, the clock started ticking on March, or on October the 3rd, 2022, and we're going to walk through this 11 months. So that's a wrap for part one in this series. Part two will drop next Wednesday, and we'll discuss Anna's weekend move to Pennsylvania and the start of our IT. Please consider subscribing to stay up to date on all our episodes. And if you have suggestions, you can email us at podcast@hensonfamily.me, podcast@hensonfamily.me. Thanks for listening.